Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, its go-home show to Friday's Crown Jewel event at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can log into the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, if you were live in attendance last night at Monday Night Raw, I just want you to consider something for a moment. You have left your house. You bought tickets to Monday Night Raw. You've probably spent, most people don't go alone. You probably spent yourself a couple of $100 for the night. And you received the following: Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley rematch, a 10-woman tag match, Elias versus Jinder Mahal, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable against the AOP and the Ascension, Nia Jax versus Ember Moon, and the Lucha House Party versus the Revival, Dolph Ziggler and Apollo Crews. That's what you get. That's what you get. That sound good to you? Because that sounds like a house show, an untelevised house show to me. That's what that sounds like. An untelevised house show. Now, if I sound like I'm in a worse mood than usual, I am, because this is absolutely ridiculous, and things are reaching critical mass here for the WWE. And I guess they're clueless, or they don't care. One of the two. I would say it's probably the latter. They probably don't care. But this was not a Raw that people are going to walk out of that building saying, "Oh, wow, we saw some great stuff." This is a Raw people are going to walk out of the building saying, "I ain't never going back. What a waste of my money." I mean, you didn't even get to see most of the top. I don't know if they had some dark matches. Maybe they did. But for the most part, you didn't get to see any of the top guys even in action. We start things off with Baron Corbin. He's in the ring, and he basically starts out, and I'm sure he had to start out by saying, "Look, last week's Raw was extraordinarily sad and depressing, and it was a horrible incident, and I wish Roman Reigns personally the best in his fight against leukemia." However, when he does return, I don't want it to be on Raw. Now, interestingly enough, I have reports that say Roman Reigns was backstage last night. He didn't make an appearance, but he was there. Not sure why. But here's what I will tell you. Anything that has to do with Roman Reigns and this angle with his unfortunate reoccurrence of leukemia has definitely been run by him and okayed by him. They're not going to bring this up. They're not going to try to get heat off it or anything else without Roman Reigns okaying it. So he's okayed any of these mentions of his condition and any of these angles that occur or any heat trying to get built off of it. But that still doesn't make it right. Still doesn't make it right. We're looking down the barrel of a very serious situation here. Now, I'm not privy to Roman Reigns' medical records, nor is anyone I know. So I don't know how serious this is. Perhaps it's something they have assured him and told him this is very manageable and we will make sure it's in remission in short order and it's not life-threatening at this stage. Maybe they haven't. But either way, you are dealing with an extraordinarily serious situation, a life-changing situation. And even if Roman Reigns says it's okay, it's not okay. Now, there are going to be people who say, "Well, when Jerry Lawler had his heart attack, you said it was okay for them to bring that up." Yes, I did, and I'll tell you why I did. I did that because a heart attack is not the same thing. It's a little bit different. Later on in this show, we saw children suffering this disease. Not that many children have heart attacks. And when you're the WWE and you go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation and you go to all these other things, and then, you know, the Children's Cancer Society and even the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Awareness, when you're doing all that work, I don't think it's a good idea. I just don't think it's a good idea that you use a man's real battle with cancer as a gimmick, even if he says it's okay. I do think there's a line that you don't cross, and that's probably it. If we are at the stage in professional wrestling where the only way you can get heat is off a real-life diagnosis of leukemia for a man, then you have forgotten how to be a professional wrestler. Because there's a million other ways to get heat that does not involve that. So Baron Corbin brings it up. Out comes Brock Lesnar. Yeah, I'm surprised to see Brock Lesnar, really. They must have, you know, made a ton of money off of this announcement that they're going to go back to Saudi Arabia, because otherwise Brock Lesnar's not showing up. Gets in the ring, says nothing. Paul Heyman does all the talking, says he's going to destroy Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman comes out. Braun Strowman beats up Baron Corbin. For what reason, I'm not too sure. And it leads to Brock Lesnar sneak attacking Braun Strowman, F5-ing Braun Strowman, and leaving him in the ring. At least it's a build-up, I mean, for Crown Jewel. But, folks, there has never been a wrestling card I want to watch less than Crown Jewel, for many reasons. It's not just that I'm morally offended that they're going to Saudi Arabia. It's that this card just stinks. I don't care who wins between Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. Neither one of them deserve to be champion. One of them couldn't give a crap about the wrestling business unless there's enough zeros behind the check. And the other one's not ready to be a champion. And he's not going to put on good matches. Yeah, here you go. One of these guys are going to get shoved up your ass. It's just leaving, it's leaving me kind of hollow with the WWE. I mean, between the misstep with the Saudi Arabia thing, with them using the Roman Reigns leukemia diagnosis as a gimmick, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Mike, I was really surprised that Baron Corbin brought this up in a gimmick format, even though he began by doing it, you know, straight out and saying, I wish him the best. They are still obviously, and with Roman Reigns' blessing, I'm sure, using this to try to get heat from people, and I just don't like it.
I don't like it. This is almost as bad as when they brought up Reed Flair's death, you know? I mean, remember that whole situation?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. We speculated on whether or not Ric Flair okayed it or whether or not Charlotte okayed it at the time. But it was the wrong thing to do, and it was the wrong time to do it. Just like this. That was the wrong thing to do and the wrong time to do it, you know. I mean, that's what makes it so questionable.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I don't want to play gloom and doom, but what happens if something really bad happens to Roman Reigns? You're going to look back on this and say, oh, we're proud of the fact that we had some bad guys kind of take advantage of. Come on. You don't even know what it's going to be yet. At least they waited. Jerry Lawler was fine, and his diagnosis was your heart's actually in better shape than it was before you had the operation, before they made fun of it. We don't know what the diagnosis, we don't know what the prognosis is for Roman Reigns. Can we wait? Maybe we do know. I don't know. But we've not been told anything. But there are some things you just don't do. And I just think that's one of them. And they didn't just do it once. They did it twice. Twice. Anyway, we then get Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley. The only good thing, and you know, I have so many people write to me saying I absolutely hate Leo Rush. But that's good. That's what you're supposed to do. Leo Rush is doing his job. Every time Leo Rush comes out and I'm annoyed by him, I also smile and say, he's doing his job. He's really getting Bobby Lashley over. Here's the problem with this whole thing. Last week, Bobby Lashley lost to a simple little roll-up by a man his leg should have been able to kick out of, let alone his whole body. And now they're saying, okay, I told you last week, there'll be a rematch and Lashley will destroy him because that's 50-50 booking. Well, there is a rematch, but Lashley does not destroy him. As a matter of fact, it looks like he's well on his way to losing again until Leo Rush gets involved. And as soon as they get backstage, Baron Corbin informs them, well, thanks to that great performance and you beating on him after the match, I'm going to put you in the Crown Jewel World Cup in place of John Cena. Because why? Because you lost to him last week and this week you almost lost to him? So we're supposed to expect that Bobby Lashley, who can't beat Finn Balor, is going to be the top guy. Finn Balor's not even in it. I mean, this is just terrible. And then on top of it being terrible, the WWE decides we're going to blatantly lie to our fans. And Baron Corbin, because Baron Corbin can't get no heat on his own. So Baron Corbin has to bring up Roman Reigns' leukemia. And then Baron Corbin has to supposedly be the guy who takes out John Cena for no reason. I'm just removing John Cena from this match. He's got to get the heat that way. Everybody knows John Cena has refused to go. Why could you not just be honest with the fans and say John Cena has made a choice to not travel to Saudi Arabia? You didn't have to say why. You didn't have to say why. You didn't have to say, well, he's morally against it. You said John Cena can't make it. John Cena's decided he's not going to go. He's had to pull out. That's all you had to do. Nope. No, we're going to rub salt in the wound and tell all you fans who don't want us to go to Saudi Arabia that the one guy who's not going, because as far as I see, Daniel Bryan is, the one guy who's not going, we're going to turn that into a gimmick. Baron Corbin says he can't go. Ay, 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 ay. Really? Not good. Not good. Now, the match itself, nobody cares about this match. This is the worst thing in the world for Bobby Lashley. Here is a gigantic man who can't polish off a cruiserweight. Can't polish him off. And you're expected week after week to say, this is a monster. Look at the size of this man. He's a supreme athlete. He is a terror. He can't beat Finn Balor. He can't beat Finn Balor. He can't beat a cruiserweight. But you're telling me he's a monstrosity. He's a walking dinosaur. He's a monster. Yeah, I know. You're really booking him that way, aren't you? Todd, this is a match I did not want to see, and the ending just seemed ridiculous.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was one of the worst matches I ever seen, too. And like you said, it's more like a hell show match, technically.
The whole card was. So, by the way, Finn Balor wins by disqualification. Nobody cares. They booed. The fans booed, Mike.
Right, and it might have made it a little bit better had before that match. He said that, you know, he comes out and after he does what he does with John Cena, you know, there's a match between these two guys, and we're trying to figure out who's going to, you know, we're trying to figure out who's going to take John Cena's spot, and it's going to be between Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley. And then, you know, and then when Bobby Lashley gets, when the match goes the bad way, and I mean, this could have been a setup. This could have, if they had done it right, this could have been a setup between a, for a series of matches between Leo Rush and Finn Balor. But they did, they fell down on a job again.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did, and that's a much better idea. You just simply say at the beginning of the show, while you're out there in the ring anyway, incidentally, John Cena is out of the Crown Jewel, and later we're going to have a match between Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley, and the winner of that will get added to the Crown Jewel World Cup tournament. And then you have Leo Rush legitimately cost Finn Balor the match. And you got something. You've got something. Instead, you just half-ass it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. So Raw's off to a terrible start. Just a nightmarish start. We then get the news that Becky Lynch is going to fight Ronda Rousey at the Survivor Series. Where that came from, I don't know. What I do know is this. If you think in your wildest dreams, WWE, that Ronda's not going to get booed out of the building, you better prepare her for that. You better prepare Ronda Rousey for the fact that she's going to get booed. Because these fans are solidly behind Becky Lynch. This is not the way you want to promote Ronda Rousey. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, this is not the way you want to do it. But go ahead and do it. See what good it does her. It will do her no good. So we get the 10-woman tag match, which is just, you know, Trish and Lita showing up again with Natty and Bayley and Sasha and the Riot Squad and what's left of Alexa Bliss's crew with Alexa in tow. I'm sure it was nice for the people live to see. It's more just like a little exhibition of whatever. Lita does the moonsault still well, but man, does she, I mean, there's certain things that Lita has just lost a lot more than Trish Stratus, let's say that. I'm watching a girl get whipped into a corner. Trish Stratus goes down on her hands and knees so that Lita can parachute off her, jump off her into the corner. And the girl's not dead. Nobody shot the girl. She's in the corner, and Lita is taking her time, pointing to the crowd. Do you want me to do it? Should I do it? Do you really think I should do it? Yeah, yeah, let me dance first, though. My God. How long are you going to pause? And then she runs over and literally can't even. It was just bad. It was just bad. And to add insult to injury, the Riot Squad lose again. Mike, they're all but done. I mean, they have no credibility as heels. None. Zero.
They're all but done. And here's something else to think about with particularly with Sarah Logan. We once called Sarah Logan that devil may care, you know, I don't give a damn, we'll fight you at the drop of a hat girl. But that's not her gimmick now. And I'm starting to believe why they changed her gimmick is because they started to see that Becky Lynch was gonna take that gimmick and go with it, you know. And they needed something else for Sarah Logan, and they came up with basically Taya's gimmick or whatever it is for Sarah Logan. You know, that's what I'm starting to believe now. And not that I'm against what Becky Lynch is doing. I'm just saying I think that was originally the plan for Sarah Logan.
Well, that was our plan for Sarah Logan. I don't know if it was their plan for Sarah Logan, but yeah, I mean, at this stage of the game, they moved Sarah Logan from this redneck sort of I'll kick your ass type girl to some girl who I guess she thinks she's a Viking. I don't know. I don't know. It's bad. It's not good for Sarah Logan. Girl who was just like, I'm going to kick people's ass. That was good for Sarah Logan. The I'm a Viking, that's not good for Sarah. That's not going to work. What is going to work is Liv Morgan doing this juvenile delinquent thing. That's going to work. That has actually parachuted Liv Morgan ahead of Sarah Logan because her gimmick makes sense. She's young. She has that look about her that she is probably a delinquent sort of a whatever. She fits right in with Ruby Riott, who's also sort of a cheerleader for delinquency. What's a Viking got to do with this? That would be like saying, okay, we got a team of like gangsters. We got New Jack. We got Mustafa. And we got a Viking. Okay, why do we have a Viking? I don't know. It's cool. She sticks out like a sore thumb. Oh, we got the Public Enemy. Johnny Grunge. Rock O' Rock. And a Viking. No. No. It's kind of stupid. From what I see, the Riott Squad's gimmick is they're all sort of anarchist, quasi-punk rocker delinquents. And where's a Viking fit in that? Where's a girl who thinks she's a Viking fit in that? She doesn't. Even the redneck doesn't really, but she sort of does if she's that, you know, proper sort of hell-raising redneck, Steve Austin-ish type redneck. She sort of does, but the Viking definitely doesn't. So, Todd, you know, another so-so match with the wrong people winning again. I thought they were going to correct themselves from Evolution, but no.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's they booked the wrong people to win, like they did at Evolution. They should have the Riott Squad and their two partners, Mickie James and Alicia Fox, to take the match, but to win the match. But nope, they messed that booking up on that match too.
Yeah. So far, Raw's off to one of these starts where I'm bored at home. Let alone if you're there live. Luckily, to save the day, Elias comes out and he's not changed his character all that much. He subtly changed his character. He didn't get to insulting the town. He didn't get to doing whatever. Instead, he said, you know, I don't like breaking my guitars, but I got to tell you that it felt kind of good to break one over Baron Corbin's head. So let me re-show you that. And then he did exactly what we said he needs to do. And that is, he changes his songs from making fun of the town or making fun of face characters to simply making fun of heels. And he says, I'm going to go outside Baron Corbin's door, which is actually pretty funny. And what makes it funny is that Elias is playing it straight, which means that Elias isn't there saying, I'm going to go sing Baron Corbin a song where I make fun of him just to piss him off. No, Elias is actually outside the door saying, you're going to like this. I wrote a song for you. I don't write a song for just everybody. As a matter of fact, he told Dana Brooke he wouldn't sing her one, which was funny. So Elias, in his own weird world, thinks, as long as I'm singing about you, even if I'm singing horrible things, you should be grateful and happy, which is funny. That's a funny gimmick. And Baron Corbin actually did a really good job of saying, just go away, and then it gets so bad, the song gets so bad that he tears out of the dressing room and says, what the hell is wrong with you? That's actually pretty funny. And then Jinder Mahal comes along, attacks him. And we smell the writing on the wall, which is, here we go with Elias's full face turn. And Jinder Mahal is going to be the first guy on the list to be destroyed by Elias, which is exactly what happened. Now, I'm not against any of this because this is the way it works. This is just the way it works. When you flip somebody from heel to face, this is the way it works. It's a sad thing that Jinder Mahal has went from WWE champion to first guy up to promote somebody else. But that's life. And Elias got a big pop, a really big pop. And I think that they could, if they handle Elias correctly, they could be onto something here with this, which we have called for, Mike, for a long time.
And we did call for a long time, and this could, we've said it, it could be very big. I mean, and it probably will be very big, you know, Now, I don't know, at some point you're going to put a title around him, whatever you're going to do with that, you're going to do it with that. But I don't know if he particularly is going to need a title, because the fans are into him. I'm into him. The fans are into him, and it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, because they're just happy that he's there. Now, it should matter if he wins or loses. If you want him, like we say, if you want him to be the guy that the fan, you know, basically the Roddy Piper with a guitar, you know?
Yeah. And look, it's twice in a row. He has sort of backhandedly made fun of Stephanie McMahon too. So this is what's, I think, going to come up. We're going to get the Baron Corbin feud. Stephanie McMahon may play a role in this. I see a Stephanie McMahon song coming. That's what I see coming. And then that will be the big push for Elias, where the fans are going to pop because he's going to say something horrible about Stephanie. And then the authority type figures are going to come down upon him, and he's going to be that, what do you want to call it? That wild card guy who you say, well, you know, you never know what Elias is going to do, because he's a little strange and he's got a big ego and he's not going to take, he doesn't take a lot of crap lying down. So you don't know. You don't know where he's coming from. That could work. It absolutely could work. So this was one of the better segments, I thought, on Raw. The match was a little short, Todd, but at the same time, you know, it promoted what it needed to promote, and that's Elias.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Elias, he don't need a belt. I think he's doing fine with a championship belt or anything like that. Like you said, I think he's going to be one of those guys going to be like anti-authority guys to go against authority figures like a Baron Corbin or a Triple H.
I think that's where that's going. I really do. He's made fun of Stephanie McMahon inadvertently twice. It's coming. And Baron Corbin is Stephanie McMahon's hand-chosen person, so that's what's coming. That could be interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. Now let's go back to the uninteresting. Once again, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, who have formed the most uninteresting team that I've seen in a long time. Once again, fight the Ascension, for God's sake. What's this, the 100th time in a row? But they add the AOP to the mix, which is a big mistake. It's a big mistake. You don't want to add the AOP to the mix right now. The AOP wants to come out and flatten both people again. Go ahead. But don't add them to the mix, because then you get those horrible moments where the guy from the AOP is barely just bumped and he actually runs and throws himself out of the ring. He literally, go back and watch the tape. It's supposed to be a spot where one of the guys drop kicks another guy into him, he bumps him, and then it knocks him out of the ring. He's so far away from the ropes that he realizes, I can't throw myself out of the ring like I'm drop kicked out of the ring, so let me run across the ring and dive out of the ring. Terrible moment in that match. I laughed out loud. I literally laughed out loud and said, wow, that's just bad ring placement. Really bad ring placement. And maybe that proves that, you know, look, the AOP are, they have the look. And if they just stick to being beat on and beating people, it works. When they try to get too fancy with all kinds of spots, that's when the AOP starts to get weak. Just leave them what they are. It's almost the same way with the Bludgeon Brothers. When the Bludgeon Brothers were around, just let them be what they are. Don't try to get involved with complex spots with them, because they don't handle it that well. Anyway, Roode and Gable win. Victor gets pinned again. And I don't see where this did anything for anybody. I mean, I don't know. It just felt like a flat. Everything seems flat, Mike.
Everything seems flat, and Victor being pinned again kind of lends credence to the fact that they're probably headed towards splitting that team up and giving Connor a big push.
I'd like to see it. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I'd like to see it, because at this stage, Ascension. Nothing's happening there. Now we get a Nia Jax segment backstage, which just underlines in glow-in-the-dark magic marker, Nia Jax can't cut a promo. She cannot cut a promo. I don't care who she's related to. She can't cut a promo. She has no idea what her character is. That's another thing with Nia Jax. She has no clue what her character is. Am I a wonderful, sensitive woman who has had to battle body shaming my whole life and overcame it? Or am I a bully? Am I a girl who chokes up at the thought of I've done something wonderful for the women who come before me and after me? Or am I someone who makes fun of women? She has no idea. She just has no idea. And that's why nobody's behind her character, because she doesn't have one. It changes every time she gets a microphone in front of her. So she's talking about her wonderful moment, and along comes Ember Moon and says, you know, I also feel like I had a game-changing moment. Yeah, you think? The crowd was solidly behind her at Evolution. To which Nia Jax basically says, are you going to ask her more questions about her doing mediocre or me winning? Okay, well, that doesn't sound like a girl who's sensitive to other women and wonderful. It's silly. That's what it is. It's silly. It's silly and nobody cares. And then they decide they're going to have a match. And you can hear a pin drop. You can hear a pin drop because no one cares. What's worse, they don't care about Nia. Nia Jax is staring down the barrel of a Ronda Rousey feud that no one wants to see because Nia Jax has no character. Nia Jax should have been a girl who said very little, came in with some kind of a management or a mouthpiece, destroyed women, not a sensitive, body-shaming type person, a monster, a beast, a female Brock Lesnar. That's it. She's not that now. Nobody even knows what she is. It changes from card to card. Ember Moon, everybody's rooting for. Guess what? She gets squashed like a grape. I mean, squash match. They think so little of Ember Moon that even off a distraction by Tamina Snuka, who looks like somebody actually wound her up as a robot, and then she just walks to the ring like a robot. She has no facial expression. She has no body language. She got nothing. Walks to the ring for, I don't know why, just to stare at Nia. And Nia Jax, who of course is so distracted by this woman who they don't like each other. Why? Because they're both big? That's why they're going to feud. Well, I'm bigger than you. No, I'm bigger than you. But even off that distraction, which I thought would lead to Ember Moon winning, and furthering, of course, Tamina Snuka's feud with Nia Jax as a potential. No. Nia Jax turns around, swats Ember Moon like a fly. 1, 2, 3. That's it. You're garbage. Get out. Never mind the fact that the fans want to root for Ember Moon, and they don't want to root for Nia, because Nia's got the bloodline heritage that she'll take her ball and go home. And her uncle or cousin, whoever he is, The Rock, told her that's okay to do. Apparently. You don't like the way you're being booked? Pack your bags and go home. So every time Nia Jax has to drop a match to somebody who isn't Ronda Rousey, I'm packing my bags and going home. If that's the way it's going to be, pack your bags and go home permanently. Because here's a great big gigantic flashing red light for you. Women's division's not going to miss efforts like this. Efforts like this are not contributing anything to the women's division. How's that for a pipe bomb? In fact, it's holding him back, because when you minimize the athleticism of somebody like Ember Moon so you can maximize the potential of Nia Jax, who never maximizes any of her own potential, ever, you're actually hurting the women's division. How about that? And fans are about as interested in seeing Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax fight as they are watching Dolph Ziggler dress up as Colonel Sanders and fight somebody dressed as a chicken. Nobody gives a damn about this. And once again, Mike, it proves the WWE don't care who you're rooting for. They're like, nah, we're going with Nia all the way, and Ember Moon's just going to get squashed like a bug.
Right, but I want to look at it in another way. Her not having a character, is it her fault that she doesn't have a character? I mean,
I would say yes.
I would say.
I'll tell you why.
I would say partially.
I'm going to say completely, and here's why. When the WWE figured out, they gave her a character when she first showed up. She was a mean, obnoxious bully who beat the hell out of everybody. But then they figured out the girl, she's terrible on the mic. So then they said, well, maybe we can do something with this body shaming thing, and we'll put her up against Alexa Bliss, who's a real bitch, and is really good on the mic. So that'll carry this feud. Can't get it done in the ring. So then they said, well, we can't do that with her either. They're trying different things with her, Mike, but none of them worked. They just mm-hmm. keep, it's almost like trying to put together a Halloween costume when all you got is scrap, and you're like, let me see if this works with this. No. Let me see if this works with this. No, not really. They don't know what to do with her because she doesn't have any skill, Mike. She can't talk on the mic. She can't be a bad guy in the mic. Mm-hmm. She can't be a good guy in the mic. She can't
right.
get it done
and,
in the ring, so I don't know what to do with her.
Didn't they even try to put her with Lana? Or was that Tamina?
No, that was Tamina, and Tamina can't get it done either. But at least Tamina doesn't try to talk much on the mic. At least they have kept Tamina's character sort of like this big, powerful, don't say much type girl. So there's still a little bit of mystique to Tamina. A little bit, not much, but a little bit. There's no mystique at all. There is nothing on Nia Jax anymore. It used to be, wow, that is a big girl and a powerful girl, and it's almost unfair that she's in a division with girls half her size, and she's throwing them around like rag dolls, and she's taking full advantage of it. At that particular time, that's when you needed a mouthpiece to say, this is the biggest, baddest girl on the planet. Nobody can come close to touching her. She's squashing these girls like flies. These are the best athletes you got in the WWE, and she's taking them out two at a time. That's what was needed. Instead, you decided, no, we want to have this come-to-Jesus moment where she says, I was body-shamed my whole life. You were body-shamed your whole life. You were a plus-size model. How's that body-shaming? The only reason she's still in this division is her connections. Because right now, she's got nothing. And here's the worst part. She's burying people who do. I could make a very strong argument that Alexa Bliss's feud with Nia Jax was the downfall of Alexa Bliss. She hasn't been real hot since then. And if you think this is going to help Ember Moon any, losing to her in just seconds, it's not. Far from it. I mean, it was more than seconds, but it wasn't much more. And it was basically a squash match. Okay, so then out of nowhere comes the Lucha House Party, making their debut on Raw, which is basically the Mexican version of a New Day. They figure it worked with the New Day. Let's see if it works with the Luchas. That's what it is. Except here's the big difference. They're not funny. And there's the Poor Revival in the ring, who's probably, arguably, one of the better tag teams that Raw has. And I said to myself, there's no way on God's green earth the Lucha House Party's losing their debut. So this is about the end of the Revival. I know one of the guys in the Revival tweeted, you haven't seen the best of us yet. Don't give up on us. I'm sorry, my friend. We've seen the best of you, and I'm giving up. The WWE will never let you be what you were in NXT. They're not even trying. They're not even trying. They've given you exactly zero, and now you are relegated to losing to cruiserweights in a comedy act. when Raw can really use some great tag teams, by the way. That's what you're relegated to. Terrible. And the Lucha House Party didn't get a great reaction because, I mean, what do they do? Come out with a pinata? That is the equivalent of an Irish group coming out with a shillelagh or a potato or a Jewish group coming out and spinning a dreidel. Holy mackerel. It's like they dig their own grave, Mike. I don't know.
There's a reason why, you know, Sheamus stopped coming out with his shillelagh, you know, that whatever that thing was that he was hit people with. There's a reason,
yep. You
know. There's a reason why it changes every 6 months with what the New Day comes out with. Because at times, whatever it is, be the pancakes, the horns, the whatever, it gets old. Now, granted,
right.
The New Day continually, you know, reinvent themselves. They come up with different things, but they come up with different things. And that's what the Lucha House Party is going to have to do. But
they're great on the microphone. All three of them are great on the microphone, Mike. I haven't seen – Kalisto's very bad on the microphone. I don't know about Grand Metalik or the other one. I don't know. But Kalisto is very bad on the mic. Now, Derek in the chat room, I wanted to get him in on this Finn Balor thing because he's saying, you know, if they had that match with Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley as a qualifying match for the World Cup, wouldn't people be pretty sure that Lashley would win based on the fact that Finn Balor had that LGBT shirt and they couldn't wear it in Saudi Arabia and he may not be wanting to go. He's not really on the card that I know of. Yeah, but he was there last time. So here's the deal. We wouldn't have known that. Right now, we don't know for sure if he's on the card. So, no, I don't think so. I mean, Finn Balor could have won that match. He was in Saudi Arabia last time. So, yeah, I don't know if he's against going. Maybe he is now. I don't know. But I don't think we were privy to it, so we wouldn't have known who was going to win the match. Bobby Lashley, I would have thought, would have won it, but that's only because he lost to Finn Balor last time. But as far as saying we'd know because Finn didn't want to go, I don't know that Finn doesn't want to go. I'm assuming Finn doesn't want to go because he's not booked. I guess, except for the main guys, I would imagine that maybe the WWE locker room was asked if, you know, certain guys who we haven't booked, anybody don't want to go, you don't have to go because you're not really booked anyway. We won't book you in a minor match if you have any objection to going. So that's probably what happened. Finn probably doesn't want to go. I don't know that for sure, though. I just know it would have been a much better angle than just having Baron Corbin say, Cena's out, you're in. Wow, that's – you really have some authority. The face of the company is out, and Bobby Lashley's in, and no one's going to say anything. Triple H, Stephanie's not going to say, wait a minute now. That doesn't even make any sense. So that's horrible. All right, so let's get to Seth Rollins, who comes out. And he starts off very well. But this thing turns to shit quick. He starts off by saying, look, I didn't try to contact Dean Ambrose all week. I knew I was going to find Dean Ambrose here. I'll find him here tonight, and I'm going to get some answers. But I've been really soul-searching this. And I truthfully and honestly started thinking, maybe this is my fault. Because maybe Dean Ambrose has never gotten over what I did. This is the right approach. This is 100% the right approach. Seth Rollins is supposed to be a babyface. Seth Rollins should come out there and say, I know Dean Ambrose went berserk. But maybe it's my fault. Maybe I caused this. Maybe this is water under the bridge now. He's done everything he needs to do to me. Maybe he had to get that out of his system. That's Dean Ambrose. That's the Dean Ambrose I know, and that's the Dean Ambrose I love. And maybe he just needed to get that out of his system. And if he did, it's a small price to pay. Because I probably deserved it. But if that's the case, then I want Dean to come out here and tell me that's the case so we can get on with business and defend our tag team belts. That's what should have happened. Instead, Dean Ambrose does exactly what Seth Rollins asks and comes out, and Rollins says, "Get down here so I can beat your ass." Wait a minute. I thought you said it was your fault. Wait a minute. I thought you said all you want to do is have him tell you why he did what he did. It never should have escalated to that point on Seth Rollins' part until the end. Dean Ambrose should have come out. Seth Rollins should have been the guy to say, "Look, you wanted me to, I guess you wanted me to feel the same pain you guys felt when I turned my back on you. Well, I have. Now I have. Physically and mentally, I have. You did what you wanted to do, Dean. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't deserve it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong. You're probably not wrong. If I was in that spot, maybe I'd have done the same thing. But can we just get back to being brothers and defend these belts? Can you just come down here, put his hand up, come down here, you know the deal, you know, we got to defend these belts. Can you just come down here and do that?" And then if he came down there and waylaid him again, then you have a major heel with Dean Ambrose. But no, because Seth Rollins started saying, "I'm going to come up there and kick your ass." And he also said, "How dare you pick the day that our brother has told us that he's got leukemia?" And whoa, now you're bringing this up again. Once again, Roman Reigns probably okayed this. Roman Reigns is probably backstage saying, "You go, man." But I still say it's the wrong move. I still say it's the wrong move. This whole thing should be based upon Seth Rollins feeling he deserved what he got. Seth Rollins feeling, "I have to put that bridge between me and Dean, because Dean still got those demons in him from what I did. I have to put that to rest." And Dean Ambrose just being unwilling to put it to rest and saying very little, so that that one day when he does say something, he can say, "You don't seem to get it. You think I'm still mad at you for turning your back on the Shield. You think I still resent you and hate you for turning your back on the Shield. In reality, I'm mad I didn't do it first, because you were right. It's poison. The minute I left, I was the champion. I come back to the Shield, and what am I? I'm third banana. You were right all those years ago, and that's why I hate you. Not because you were wrong and it stabbed us in the back, because you were right and I was too stupid to see it." That works. What happened this way, Mike, I just don't think it works that well.
And furthermore, if they want him as a heel, right at the end of that whole situation, you know, he'd raise the microphone like he was going to say something, the fans would cheer. Okay, he'd lower it, they would claw it down, and he did it several times. And, I mean, that's almost, if you look at that reaction, that's almost the same reaction Becky Lynch gets. And I don't think that's the reaction they want for Ambrose, you know.
That no, and that's why I said if you want to do this, that's why they went with the whole thing with the cancer treatment and the whole thing. That's why they went with this, hoping the fans would say, yeah, that Dean's a no good SOB. It would have been so much better if Seth Rollins wasn't angry. It would have been so much better if Seth Rollins said, "How can I be angry? How can I, if I came out here and said, I'm going to kick Dean Ambrose's ass. If I came out here and said, Dean Ambrose turned his back on me, I'd be the biggest hypocrite in the world because I did the same exact thing to them. And I've spent, I don't know how long trying to make up for it. So I'm not mad at him. Watch the tape. I didn't even fight back because I thought this is something Dean has to get out of his system. This is something I'm owed in the eyes of Dean Ambrose and maybe in my own eyes too. Yeah, I was mad. I went backstage. I'm mad. And then I start thinking about it. And you know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at myself because I'm the guy who caused this. Not Dean Ambrose. I'm the guy who caused this. And as far as I'm concerned, Dean Ambrose is still my brother. And I'm still there for him. And I don't know how he feels about me. Maybe he's gotten it out of his system. I hope so. But that's why I need to call him out here, so that he can tell me if this is it's out of his system, so that we can go defend our belts. Might have even been fun if he said, yeah, it's out of my system. But then we don't know, do we? And we got that big match. Now, I don't know. Maybe Ambrose ain't even going. Maybe that's part of the reason. Maybe Ambrose said, I'm not going. But that would have been fun if we say, is it behind Ambrose or isn't it? Will Seth Rollins try to get revenge on Ambrose? And is Seth Rollins the liar or is Ambrose lying? Or maybe neither of them's lying. It would have been much more fun that way, but I can tell you this much, Todd. Seth Rollins never should have had that reaction. Seth Rollins should have been the guy saying, I got what I deserved. I just hope it's out of Dean Ambrose's system, because then that solidifies him as the good guy. And then anything that happens further to Seth Rollins makes Dean Ambrose look like the bad guy.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I wouldn't call Dean Ambrose to come down to the ring to get what's coming to him. I'll have him come down. We'll talk it out, whatnot. But I guess they messed that part up when says, I'm going to beat your ass, blah, blah, blah.
It was the bad move. It was the wrong thing to do. I'm telling you, it was the wrong thing to do. Everyone was waiting to see what Seth Rollins would say. And if Seth Rollins said, this is my fault, I caused this. Many years ago, but I caused it. And I don't want any single one of you people blaming Dean Ambrose. Because it's not his fault. It's my fault. It's on my shoulders. But I hope that now it's out of his system and we can move forward. That's what I'm hoping. But he's going to have to come out here and tell me, because we got a tag team championship match coming up. So all I need for Dean to do is just come out here and just tell me, are we on or are we off? What's going on? That makes Seth Rollins look like a really good guy. And it makes Dean Ambrose look like a prick if you won't accept that. I don't know where they're going with all this, but they better be careful or they're going to have Dean Ambrose as a face. And that's not what they want. They've forgotten how to make really good heels. And that's why it's crucially important that you handle everything that a good guy says, everything that a bad guy does, has to be handled correctly. Because if you just make that one little oomph, you end up with a Becky Lynch situation, which is an okay situation for them. But it does put a strain on the faces of how do you work as a face when you're being booed out of the building. And I know some people say, it doesn't matter. Who cares who they root and cheer for as long as they're making some noise? Yeah, but it does long-term booking. It does make a difference. So, I mean, ideally it would be nice if your bad guys got booed. Otherwise, you look like you're incompetent, and you can't make a bad guy booed. And it also makes the wrestlers look incompetent because they say, well, how come you can't get over? How come the fans aren't cheering you? How come they're booing you? Speaking of which, it was very interesting to see the B team on a Twizzlers commercial. I haven't seen them on air in I don't know how long. But overall, this Raw talk, before we even get to it, let's just talk about the ridiculous Kane and Undertaker and DX segment where, I mean, this really, this got to the point where I'm just saying, you know what, they're killing their own reputation. Coming out and saying, you're going to be buried in the graveyard of destiny, and oh my God in heaven. And then they booed The Undertaker when he made some corny line. I forget what it was about. I don't even know what it was, but they booed him. It was so corny. The line was so corny, the crowd booed The Undertaker. Then Shawn Michaels shows up to superkick The Undertaker, who pops back up, and God have mercy on us all. Just bury this already. And here's the problem, the statement on Saudi Arabia. Glenn Jacobs, saying that he is indeed going to Saudi Arabia, and the reason he's going to Saudi Arabia is twofold. One is that he made a contractual obligation to the WWE, and he does not want to break that contractual obligation. Two is that the WWE made a contractual obligation to Knoxville and I guess the fire department and some other things to basically grease their palms. We'll donate a whole bunch of money to Knoxville if you loan us your mayor. And I don't want my county to lose that money. Wow. Well, Mr. Jacobs, I'm not in politics, but let me explain what that's called to you. That's called bribery. What you're basically saying is Saudi Arabian blood money is coming into Knoxville, and I'm okay with it. And you should be okay with it, too, because it's going to help you. I got to tell you, man, if I'm your opponent next time around in a political debate, the very first thing I say is, are you going to tell me that it was more important for you to put on a mask and go wrestle in Saudi Arabia so that some of that Saudi Arabian money could be funneled into this city than it would be to make a moral stand and say, I do not feel that it would be a great move at this time for me to do this? That's going to be a hard one for Glenn Jacobs to answer. His tweet is absurd, and I happen to be of the party that he represents, and his tweet is absurd. It makes no sense at all. And it also says, oh, we get it. So the WWE said, if you loan us your mayor, we're going to give Knoxville some money. But if he backs out, we're pulling that money away from you guys. That's nice. WWE's real friendly. Oh, remember that fire department money we said you're getting? No. They keep digging themselves a deeper hole, Mike.
Right. They do that. But that's not the – well, it's a big deal, but that's not the biggest deal. I don't like this because, I mean, yeah, I understand they did it the way they did it the way they did it because they had no other big matches before that would have said, well, you know, why are you putting full 50-year-old men at the end of your show, you know? If they would have had a match that turned the lights out on the show before that,
right,
then people leave and they don't get to see DX and The Undertaker and Kane with the, you know. And look, we didn't mention what happened with Apollo, I just don't like that segment at the end of the show. I just don't like
it. Nor do I, and we will mention, we're going to stay on the air a little bit longer, so if you're in the chat room, you can catch up to us on the replay. We will mention the Apollo thing because this is just another thing that doesn't make any sense. Apollo Crews comes out and challenges Elias, who you already, I guess, have designated to turn face, so I don't know why. Loses that feud and then comes right back in with Dolph Ziggler and loses that one. So what's the deal with Apollo Crews? He's just the glorified jobber. So I don't know why you gave him all that. You gave us all that big buildup that's for nothing. You know, I don't know. You might as well have kept Titus Worldwide together. What was that? What was that hurting? Are we going to let Apollo go out on his own and do nothing? Then you may as well have Titus Worldwide still together. At least it was funny. At least you got something out of it. You got absolutely nothing out of this. Absolutely nothing. It's a real weird thing, Todd, that they just kind of threw Apollo under the bus.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's first he was doing pretty good with Titus Worldwide, and now you're throwing him on the bus, jobbing out all the time to these guys like Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Elias. I can name quite a few more, but I don't want to.
And that's fine. I mean, it's okay if that's what they want him to do. But then why bother putting him out on his own? Just Titus Worldwide, and at least they can do some funny skits in between. And at least you can always say, well, they're basically a tag team, so if he loses to individual guys, we get it. They're focusing on tag competition. This way, he just looks like a jabron. So all in all, I mean, we got some very poor matches. I'm sorry, but we did. We got, I don't know if the dark matches had, you know, if there was dark matches, fine. But the TV audience got to see no Seth Rollins, no Drew McIntyre, no Dean Ambrose, no Braun Strowman. None of those guys were involved in matches. Being herself, Ronda Rousey, where was she? After the big Evolution thing, where was she? It's weird, Mike. You know, all in all, the Elias thing is really the only thing that saved this show. That was a moment that was actually entertaining and enjoyable. And I thought for a moment we might have something with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose that could also save this show. But that went afoul. So I'm going to give this a D.
I'm going to give it a D minus. And frankly, they really, I mean, where after she broke up with Titus for a while, where's Dana Brooke?
Exactly.
You
she's
know?
Backstage being told by Elias, I won't write a song for you.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they broke up Titus Worldwide and did what? That's my point. If you come to me and say, look, we're going to break up Titus Worldwide for the following reasons. A, we're going to send Apollo out and we're going to give him a little bit of a build. Not a world beater build, but we're going to give him a little bit of a build. Titus himself, he's got some things backstage to do. He'll make appearances now and then. And we want to push Dana a little bit in the women's division. I'm like, okay. Then that sounds good. But if you come to me and say, well, we're going to break up Titus Worldwide and we're going to do absolutely nothing with Dana Brooke, we're going to do absolutely nothing with Apollo Crews, and we're going to do absolutely nothing with Titus O'Neil, then my next question is, well, then what's the point? You may as well keep them together. What are you getting for breaking them up except less entertainment value, Mike?
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, she – first off, she had that character down. She had that statistician character down. And they could have taken that thing and ran with that thing to the point of having her say, you know, win some matches and having her say stuff like, me on this date, in this building, I have a whatever percent chance of winning this match against Nia Jax, let's say. I don't know, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And
that's funny. It's a funny character.
Yeah. And I mean, they literally were gonna build that tag team, but they cut it short. And it's like we say, they do that a lot with some of these guys. They look like they're gonna build them, and they start to build them. But they lose interest.
Yeah, and before we close here, I just want to say something that struck me, and I'll get you guys' feelings about that, and that's this. Over the years, the WWE has used a lot of things for angles. They have used real-life affairs that other workers have had with co-workers' girlfriends and wives, as in Matt Hardy and Edge. They've used real-life heart attacks, as in Jerry Lawler. They've used death, as in Paul Bearer. And now they've even used a diagnosis of leukemia with Roman Reigns. But the one thing the WWE should have used as an angle and refused to is the Saudi Arabian situation. You all know how the fans feel about that. Why couldn't you have John Cena say, I'm not going? Why couldn't you say there's a lot of people who don't want to go, or have some guy say something negative? You know how big the fans would have popped? You know how big the fans would have popped if The Undertaker or Kane, one of the two of them, had said, so we got to go down to Saudi Arabia, which is the last place on earth we want to go. Fans would have popped. Use it for an angle. Oh, you won't, though, will you? Because that's you. See, that's what bothers me. You're willing to use anybody else as an angle, but not you. don't make fun of us and our business. We can make fun of, you know, whatever else, but not that. That's taboo. Why is that taboo? That should have been, I was waiting all night for somebody to say something negative about Saudi Arabia or even positive about Crown Jewel. Every time they bring it up, the fans boo. Now, will the fans watch the show? I don't know. Maybe. But you'll notice, Mike, they will not use that to further any angle, good or bad.
No, I mean, and they could, look, they could have even had, even though he's not good on the mic, they could have even had, you know, what's his name, Finn Balor say something about, well, I want to go over there and support my gay people, you know, or whatever, and they wouldn't let me, or they won't let me even wear a T-shirt or something like that, you know. Even that, even something as simple as that would have gotten a pop from the fans.
You know, how good would it have been? You really want to promote Finn Balor. They're not going to let him go. They're not going to let him say anything about the LGBT community. But how about this? How about Finn Balor wins that match by DQ just like he did on Monday night, which makes Baron Corbin upset because he wanted to see, obviously, Bobby Lashley go down there. And Baron Corbin reluctantly has to say, well, I guess then Finn Balor is in the World Cup match in Saudi Arabia. And Finn Balor could have said, you know what? I've been giving that a little bit of thought. And all things considered, Baron, maybe you're right. You send Bobby down there. I think I'd rather stay home. The crowd would have popped huge. They would have known what he meant. And that crowd would have popped huge. And you still would have got the same result. You still would have had Bobby Lashley down there. So there you go, Mike. There's a perfect example of how you could have used it if they weren't so sensitive about it.
Right. I mean, they wouldn't even have to have mentioned, you know, Saudi Arabia there. They
right.
could have just did what you said.
Yep.
I won the match. I deserve to be in this thing, but because of what happened last time, I'm not going.
Yeah, I think
that's
I'm just going to stay home. Yeah, and those fans would have all known what he meant, and there would have been a yes, yes, yes chant throughout that whole arena. Everybody would have known. But here's the reason they won't do that, because that makes Vince McMahon look bad. Oh, see, the crowd doesn't want people to go. Yeah, they don't want to use that as an angle, but it's okay to use leukemia as an angle. It's okay to use death as an angle. It's okay to use extramarital affairs as an angle. It's okay to use illnesses and all kinds of things as an angle. That's my problem. If it's good for one, it's good for everybody. And it's obviously that's not the WWE's philosophy. It's don't make fun of us, we'll make fun of you. Don't use us as an angle, but we'll use you as an angle. And the Saudi Arabian thing has laid a colossal turd, let's face it. Now, we should say we will be on the air with our SmackDown report Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are not going to be doing a Crown Jewel pre-show because, to be perfectly honest, I don't really even want to acknowledge it. I'm going to watch it. But I'm really only going to watch it so that on our Sunday show, I can tell you my impressions of what I saw. Not give predictions, not give results. We may give a result or two in it, but we're not going to do a whole, what do you think of that angle? What do you think of the result thing? I'm not treating this like a normal show. What we will say is if something major happens, we'll report it. If Hulk Hogan shows up, we'll report it. If they do some propaganda and say what a beautiful, wonderful, inclusive country it is, we'll report it. If hell breaks loose, we'll report it. But aside from that, I don't want anything to do with this. And the reason I don't want anything to do with it isn't because of any kind of political leaning one way or the other. It's because there's a difference between what your government must do and what private business decides to do. And for the benefit of maybe the few dozen people who listen to this that have political interest. Iran would love for the United States to fall out with Saudi Arabia. They would love nothing more than that. And for that reason, we can't. And it's a horrible thing, and it's not a country you really want to be in bed with, but it's the lesser of two evils. And sometimes in governmental situation and foreign policy, you're forced to do that because there is no other choice for the greater good. That is not the same thing in any way, shape, or form as a business going down there and holding a show for profit because they're being paid spokesmen for that country. It's not the same thing, folks. That's why I still get people saying, oh, it's the difference. You said the government shouldn't cut ties with them. That's why. If we cut ties with Saudi Arabia, everyone loses. A lot of bad things happen, and a lot of potentially worse things happen. Nothing happens if the WWE cancels, except maybe Saudi Arabia sues them, and I don't even think Saudi Arabia would sue them. Because then they'd look bad again, and they've already got a black enough eye. So they probably wouldn't even do that. What would happen is Vince McMahon would lose $1 billion, and that's not about to happen. So that's why. That's the difference in a nutshell, folks. So we will be here on Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will do the SmackDown review, and we will talk a little bit more about anything last minute with Crown Jewel. When Crown Jewel is occurring, which to me, anyway, is noon on Friday, I will be watching. If you hit us up in our Facebook group, I will be reporting things as I see them. If anything major happens, then I will report on it. I'm not going to do individual results. Other people can do that if they want, but I'll just write if there's anything particularly noteworthy or newsworthy. I'll be posting it on there, and then we'll come on the air on Sunday, and we'll give you our thoughts and feelings about Crown Jewel, and thankfully it will be behind us. Because this has been one of the darkest few months for the WWE I can ever remember as a fan. It's like they've all fallen into a vortex. And when this is done, Mike, I don't know. I don't know whether they're going to come out of this unscathed or they're going to be worse for the wear.
I don't know either. And frankly, one of the brightest, things happened with the women's pay-per-view, That was a bright spot. You may have not liked some of the matches and some of the results and whatever, but that was a bright spot. And this is a definite dark spot because of the whole situation. And not just everything, but because, of course, the women can't go, and all that stuff. And that's the thing. I mean, that's just one of the things that made this thing just a stain on the history of the WWE.
Mike, what would have happened if the WWE were not going to Saudi Arabia and they just held this Women's Evolution show because they really wanted to? There would still be a buzz about it, Mike. It would still be the talk of the WWE's announced teams, as well as a lot of the news media and everything. They'd have got much more mileage out of this, but now Saudi Arabia is going to suck all the air out of that.
You're right, and that's the thing, I'll say this. That's exactly why they're probably going to have another one. Number one, number two, if I was smart about it, yesterday morning, I would have called my writers into my room and tell them we're going to do another one of these things, and it's time for us to start backwards booking these women for us to who we're going to put there and what matches are going to do and what feuds and all this other stuff. We got to start backwards booking right now.
Yeah, because if anything good has come out of Evolution, it's that they know the women can handle this. So now let's see if the next time they give them the real consideration of saying, look, we're going to build up feuds. We're going to make this special. It's going to be like WrestleMania for women. This is going to be a big deal, and it's not going to be a cookie thrown to you because you got to stay home when we go to Crown Jewel. Let's hope that the next time that's what it is, because I don't want to see this being the annual – oh, the women are going to have their evolution, and then we go to Crown Jewel again next year. And same thing, you know, like almost like NXT's takeovers, Todd, before major events. I don't want to see the women's pay-per-views be that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't see that again if they do this next year. I don't want this Crown Jewel thing. I don't like it.
Here's what you don't want, Mike. You don't want Evolution to always be, oh, it's the pay-per-view that comes before the WWE goes to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, furthermore, I would take that and I would put it after Saudi Arabia. You know, if they're gonna, I mean, this whole contract deal with Saudi Arabia, they don't want to get out of it. We know that, so. You know, that's not happening. So just go ahead and move the other thing to behind Saudi Arabia, you know, and be done with it, you know.
It's always going to be the albatross hanging around their neck. It's always going to be that albatross hanging around their neck. And if they make this, Evolution, and then we go back to Saudi Arabia for our next show, then we'll have another Evolution back to Saudi Arabia for our next show. This is always going to look like it's the women getting thrown their cookie. And if they really want this to be special, they will stop that. You need to go to Saudi Arabia, go, but don't make that pay-per-view before you go a women's only pay-per-view every time. Otherwise, you're taking away from the meaning of it. Anyway, we'll see you Thursday at 4 p.m. with our SmackDown report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio.